Before I pray, I just want to tell you, when we sing, "Are You Washed in the Blood?" And that was one of my grandmother's butterbean songs. You know what a butterbean song is? You sing it while you're picking butterbeans. And I could hear her when every time I hear that song, but this morning also, I could hear Geraldine Wilkerson singing, "Are You Washed in the Blood of the Lamb?" And I can see her bent over in that butterbean. Because we grew two types of butterbeans, the kind you put on sticks and then the bush with. And then she'd pick the bush butterbeans like that, and she'd be singing that to the top of her voice. And all I could say was, "Sing it, Grandma," because she's still singing it to this day, because she is in Christ. Let's go ahead and, I just wanted to share that with you, but let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you. Now we come to the time to reopen your word and see what you said years ago, Lord, but it's so evident to us today, where we take what you have taught us and we live our lives according to your word, your will, your way, that we may be pleasing to you, that we may be covered in the white robes, Lord, not because of anything we've done that is good, but because what you have done, Lord Jesus, for us. And Lord, we put our faith and our trust and our hope in you. So Lord, please let the Holy Spirit teach us through your word this morning. Please remove me from it and let your word speak for itself. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, today, this is our 10th sermon on the teachings of Jesus. And today we're going to finish up the Sermon on the Mount. We have taught 10 sermons on the Sermon on the Mount. And it's a good thing because, you know, we can get off like we did in Revelation and everything and study what the Bible says and we need to know it. But unless we know what Jesus taught us, what He says to us, to our spirits and our hearts, a lot of that is just going to be knowledge. And knowledge is not wisdom. Knowledge is just knowing something. Wisdom is taking what you know and applying it to your life in everyday situations. And what better for us to do as disciples, as followers, as believers in Jesus Christ than to take what He said and do it? Because are we not commanded, be not just hearers of the word, but be doers of the word? So knowing Jesus lived is just knowledge. Proclaiming, professing, believing, obeying Him as Lord and Savior is the wisdom that He gives us. You know, brothers and sisters, we're going to come to a very famous passage here today as He closes the Sermon on the Mount about the foolish and the wise builders, and we've heard it many, many times. And we've seen many, many expressions of it. How many of us have seen the pictures of people in California and they build these nice multi-million dollar, what we used to call McMansions? You know what a McMansion is, right? It's like a cookie cutter where everyone looks the same, but they're multi-million dollar homes. And what do? They put them on this loose gravel hillside in California. What happens in California? Earthquakes. Them Santa Ana winds. I've seen a Santa Ana wind literally go up under one, pick one off, and throw it off a cliff. Mudslides, wildfires, Gavin Newsom. Well, that's a different disaster. I've been waiting all week to do that one. But anyway. But brothers, I'm glad we could joke. But, you know, there's things we need to learn. We see that. And we think, how foolish are they to build in a place that's so prone for that? Well, that's one reason you can't get home insurance in California. Because people want to build in places that are prone. Not the 100-year tornado, the 100 or the 1,000-year flood. This happens like every 20 years or something. Something big. I don't know if y'all pay attention to Facebook, but here lately there have been a lot of earthquake warnings. Now, you know, some of that you got to take with a grain of salt. I understand that. But they are having a lot of little quakes here and there all over the West Coast. Who knows? It's in God's hands. But we don't tend to take the things that we know and apply them to our lives because for some reason we as carnal people think it's not going to happen to me. It's never going to happen to me. I'm smart enough. Excuse me. See, my own body's rejecting. You're not smart. But anyway, another idea is this, is I want to take you back to my ambulance days. And I used to be a supervisor with the EMS system back home, and it was AMR. And every time I see an AMR truck goes up and down the interstate, I just say, thank you, Lord, I'm not with them anymore. But I was a supervisor, and we had some good folk who worked there, but we had a few, not the sharpest tool in the shed, you understand what I'm saying? Dents. Now, this was a common enough situation. And we would take rookies and attempt to train them not only in the medical protocols, but in the common sense protocols. Brother John, I don't know if you had this rule, but we never took our boots off before 9 o'clock. Because if you took your boots off before 9 o'clock, you were going to be up after midnight. Never seemed to fail. You waited till after night? Yes, sometimes you would, but the majority of times you would not be up after midnight. Working a rural station, it's not like that in the city, I understand. But when you're at 24 and 48 hour shifts, you have a place to sleep and all that stuff, and it wouldn't do. But we had to teach them the unwritten rules. Don't stand between a psychotic patient and a door. Don't be in the kitchen with a psychotic patient when there's a big old block full of kitchen knives right where he can reach. Don't put diesel in a gasoline ambulance. Nope, nope, nope. You know, if the rookie learned and followed these rules, the shifts would go so much smoother. But unfortunately, when we see the rules of life, we're like rookies. I don't care if you're 99 years old. You're learning something new every day. Especially when we look at the Word of God. Now in our text today, we're going to see the Lord wrap up His Sermon on the Mount teaching with a kind of example concerning those who hear His words and either reject them or live by them. And I'm here to tell you, amen. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, living by what God tells us is so much better. So much better. So let's look in the text. Matthew 7, we're going to go through verses 24 through 29 and break them up. Verse 24 and 25 says this. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, all these things that we've done in the Sermon on the Mount, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. A Christian's foundation is Jesus Christ. He is the rock. He is our deliverer. We just sang this, and it's true. You know, we read later in the New Testament that Jesus is the one true foundation. 1 Corinthians 3, starting at 11. For no other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, folks, I had trouble understanding that for a long time. But you see, every Christian, everyone that is founded on Jesus Christ, has to stand before the Bema Seat of Christ. And there Christ, in the presence of Christ, that Shekinah glory of God is going to be there. And everything that we have done good in the body will be purified. And everything that is not will be burnt up. And we've always heard the examples, you know. There was even used to be a song about it where the fire that you're going through is not to hurt you but to pull off the dross. To purify you as if fire. And we understand that. But the main point is the foundation of everything that we are, that we believe, that we live by is, must be, and always will be Jesus Christ. And if it's not, you got some figuring out to do with your life. Now we tend to see this example through modern eyes. We think to ourselves, who would build that house on the hillside that has the landslides? Who would build that house on where earthquakes are going to shake it down? You've got to have a solid foundation. And this is true. But we're missing a part of the truth that people in that day understood. Now, how many of y'all have ever heard of a waddy? A waddy. W-I-D-A. No, W-A-D-I. It is nothing more than a dried riverbed. Because we know that in that part of the woods, as we used to say, there are rainy seasons. And when the rainy seasons comes, those wadis fill up and it flows out to the Mediterranean Sea or down into the Jordan River and into the Dead Sea, wherever. But it's like a flash flood. We've all seen the videos of these old creek beds out west where a flash flood will happen in the mountains and all the rain will pour down and all these logs and all this other stuff will come flowing down before the water does. And we've seen that. Well, these dried channels are full of sand when they're not during the flood season. The water comes, it leaves the thing, and it gets sandy. And a wise person would know that if you want to build a house, you don't build it in the wadi. Because why? Because it is guaranteed that it's going to flood. It's going to shake. The foundation will break loose, and you will no longer have a house. All of y'all remember the floods back in 93, remember? There's a big old mark at the downtown airport way up on a wall that says 1993. How many of y'all remember the pictures of the propane tanks and the semis and the trailer homes and the regular homes flowing down the river because they were caught up in this 1,000-year flood? Well, the people that heard Jesus talk about building upon the sand, that's what He's talking about. They knew that. You don't put your house on a foundation that you know is going to go away. So what does that mean? It means that if one heard and hears the teachings of Jesus, then they are similar to the one who builds the house upon a sure and certain foundation. That rock that we talked about, that rock that we sang about. And when the rains do come, when those wadis fill up, the house on the rock stands. Brothers and sisters, I talked about being on an ambulance earlier. But one of the things that I thank God for is that He'd showed me through all those years of experience those who were on a foundation and those who were not. Those who were on a true foundation and those that were not. You can think your house has a good foundation. Y'all know where I was raised. Y'all know we have a very high water table there. There where you don't find many basements. You find a lot of houses up on cinder blocks. Regular houses built on that. Why? Because if you go down into the ground, the water's going to come up and your concrete foundation is going to be eaten alive and split and broken and you're not going to have a house. That's funny. When we were preparing to move up here, we drove up here a couple of weeks. I mean, twice. In like 3 days we stayed each. And we were looking for homes. And we went to this one house, beautiful brick home on the outside. And they only wanted $30,000 for this house. And then we went to the side of the house and we saw why. From the basement wall all the way on the side of the house, basement wall all the way up to the very top of the roof was a crack that you could drive a truck through, figuratively. At least a Tonka truck, Brother Allen. It was this wide at the bottom, and the whole that was the house. To fix that would have been almost $50,000, because you would have to take out the whole house, half of the house, fix everything, not only the foundation, but the walls and everything that went with it. Folks, they built on the wrong spot. It was next to the river, and the ground shifts a lot. When you knowingly do something, when an unsure foundation, the result is nobody's fault but your own. You see, we are responsible for what we do in life. If we build our foundation on idiocy, if we build our foundation on mythology, if we build our foundation on carnality, we do not have a sure foundation. And God help us if we build it on our own incompetence. Because there's only one truth. That is the Word of God. Jesus Himself said it. Thy Word is truth. Now, Thy Word is not only written, but it's also incarnate. It is Christ. He is truth. And if we build our foundation on Him, it is a solid foundation. A wise man or a wise woman does not build on anything other than solid truth. Imagine if you were young, back in your courtship days, and the spouse you were courting, and actually some people have gone through this, and you get married and you raise a family, but then you find out something that just completely changed what your spouse had told you they was. Maybe they had been in prison or been convicted of something else, or maybe they were a runaway and they, you know, just all kind of different things. That's not building your family on a foundation of truth, is it? Now, things can be reconciled, I understand that, but it shakes the foundation, and some families cannot survive that. But if you're founded on truth, the winds can come, the winds can blow, the rain can come, the flood can happen, all that stuff falling, but you're still standing on the rock. Now what's the opposite? Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You see, when you have your world shook and you find out real truth as opposed to what you wanted to believe, great is the fall of your house. Now, accordingly, you know, we're speaking metaphorically, of course. But if you're built upon a lie and everything that you're centered is built upon a lie, then when that lie is destroyed in the light of truth, you are destroyed. Emotionally, sometimes physically, financially. I don't know how many people, their money is not the root of all evil, folks. If you read your Bible, it's the love of money. And there are many people that love money so much, they hurt family members, they build their future on things that can be taken away, and their whole life. That's why people jumped out of skyscrapers during the Depression when the stock market crashed. Because they lost everything, because everything was bottled up in that little big greenback they had in their hand. Folks, you cannot build on something that can be taken away tomorrow. You can never take away Christ. Even if you die, you cannot take away. But other things, money, position, power, status, all of that can be taken away in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. I have known pastors, and God bless them. Whatever their ministry was, it was built upon their position as pastor. And when they lost their job through whatever means, sometimes themselves, sometimes other means, it literally destroyed them and caused them to go out of ministry. Folks, when you are called by God into the ministry, whatever ministry that is, that call is irrevocable. You are sealed to your purpose. And if your purpose is only how much money you got in your 401k, folks, y'all think what we've been through is bad? You ain't gonna believe it was coming down the road. It may take 10, 20 years, but it's coming. There's going to come a time when the government is going to start taxing churches for property tax. Now, folks, we can keep our lights turned on, but imagine if you had to pay another $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $100,000 to the government just to keep the building open. That's the plan. To destroy churches. Now, the only reason I'm saying that is because when you build your foundation on something other than God, the church is not the building. As much as I love this building and we try to take care of it and all that stuff, if this building burned down tomorrow, God forbid, the church wouldn't go anywhere. We're still here. We are the church. We are those that are disciples of Jesus Christ. And if we met on the riverbank If we met on a farm, if we met in a barn sitting on haystacks, no, we would not become a cowboy church, okay? But the point is, the church will not be destroyed. The only thing that destroys a church group, can't touch the real church because we're the bride of Christ. The only thing that destroys the real church is the devil, the flesh, and the person that thinks they're a Christian when they're not. Your foundation must be Christ. And if it's on that sand, if it's in that wadi, if it's on that cliffside, and the earth shakes, and the rains come, and the landslides happen, and the fires rage, and the earth, I already said earthquakes, and the tornadoes come, and whatever else, natural disaster, comes, you're not harmed. Because you're built upon the truth that is Jesus Christ. You know, there are those that insist that they know better, and they're going to build their houses, metaphorically, on inhospitable places. And when that storm comes, how many of y'all have ever been in a tree stand when a thunderstorm comes up? Some of you? Y'all know that? Man, I ain't been that dizzy since my first time out at sea, man. That tree starts rocking back and forth, and you're grabbing hold of the trunk, hanging on, making sure your safety chain, if you have one, is properly secured. And then you start easing down that tree when the lightning starts popping off. Man, it's a scary place to be. Because you don't know if that tree is going to come over with you on top of it, or at least bend far enough where you're going to drop out. Folks, it's scary. That's the way life is without truth. It's scary. You can tell yourself, this is what I need to believe in. This is what I need to make myself and my family happy. This is what I need. What you need is truth. And the only truth is found in Jesus Christ. He gives you what you need. Your time, your talent, your abilities, your blessings, whatever it needs. He gives you that. But it's from Him. And it's not the basis of your life. Jesus acknowledges with a great heart of compassion that there are God-pleasing ways to live, building upon the rock, and that there are selfish and dangerous ways to live, building upon the sand. And when our lives fall down around us in that flood of consequences that storm down the mountainside at us with breakneck speed, we get angry at God. We get angry at our fellow humans, or we get angry at fill in the blank, whatever. But Christ has warned us. Take what He has and build their foundation on the truth and not upon whimsy or desire or what you think is right. Now Jesus said all these things. He said all these things to make sure we know that acceptance and obedience to God's Word is a sure foundation, and ignorance and rejection of God's Word will only lead to destruction and the tearing down of our houses. But this proclamation by Jesus stunned those who heard it. It sounds like common sense to us, but it stunned those who heard it. And it angered people then, and it angers people now who do not know God. How dare God tell me what's best for me? Only I know what's best for me. Well, how's that working out for you, fella? How's that working out for you, sister, going on your own life? Have you had to have help from somebody? Then I guess you're not all there is. And folks, we don't want to be point blank when that kind of thing happens. But sometimes we have to be. Sometimes we have to be. And so, how did those people react? Well, in verse 28, and I kind of wrote about this on the Pastor's Minute this last week. This proclamation by Jesus stunned those who heard it then. Verse 28, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine. Stunned. Bewildered. Curious. All kind of things rolled up into one. For He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. We know He has the authority. He's the one that wrote the law. He's the one that wrote the Word of God through the Holy Spirit, because they're all God. To give men what to write It's called the plenary inspiration of Scripture. That's a big fancy theological term saying the Holy Spirit led these men to write what they wrote. That's all it means. And Jesus, being God the Son, is the one who told them through the Holy Spirit what to write. Therefore, He has the authority to say things and even to make changes. What do I mean make changes? You have heard it said, but I say unto you. It's that simple. So, Jesus completes God's law. He completes everything there is that God wants us to know. And He speaks with the authority of God. So everything that He says here comes from the mouth of God Himself. And I believe with all my heart that the Holy Spirit has kept it together for us in the proper understanding and the proper text and the proper usage of that text throughout the centuries. Yes, man monkeys with it on occasion. There are some Bible translations that, folks, I wouldn't feel bad at all chucking it in a trash can and setting it on fire. Because it changes the Word of God to mean things they don't mean. And so therefore, it is not the Word of God. Does that mean we all need to learn Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic to understand? No, it doesn't. Because God has led good men to translate it properly. And therefore, we can understand it properly in that context. What the problem is when we do like them and we get stunned and say, well, how can Jesus tell us to do all this stuff? Because He's God. Duh. Folks, I'm telling you, I've had conversations with people, and God forgive me, I wanted to throw a hymnal at them. Because it was so... Well, it's like talking to a brick. But I understand why. Because the devil veils the truth to the world. And it is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that that veil is lifted where they can understand the truth of what God says. And praise be to God, we plant the seeds. The people today. Now, I'm not even talking about non-believers in what I'm about to say. Because we kind of understand what they're going to do. But what about the believers that read the very plain teachings of Jesus Christ and say, that's not what it really means? Or that doesn't apply nowadays. Or that's divisive. I like that last one. Why? Because Scripture does cut both ways. It cuts a lot on the liberal side. It cuts just as much on the conservative side. It cuts deep, even to the bone and marrow of our spiritual selves. Sharper than any two-edged sword. And we have people that try to claim Jesus said certain things that He never said. And I talked about it on the Facebook page. It's like the old thing, God helps those who help themselves. Jesus never said that. Ben Franklin said that. And let me tell you something, Ben Franklin ain't God. Some people may think He is because He's on the $100 bill. And when they talk about the Benjamins, that's who they're talking about. But some cannot even understand the things that He did say. Example is Matthew 10:36, and I'm paraphrasing, I did not come to bring peace to the world, but a sword. Well, He's the Prince of Peace. He's all-loving, all-merciful, all-forgiving. Yes, but He's also all-righteous. Sin is punished. Now, He took the punishment for those that believe in Him. But you were talking about bringing a sword? Imagine a household full of people who never went to church in a day in their life or never heard the gospel fully a day in their life, and they live the worldly way, and one person in the family becomes a follower of Jesus Christ. Or you can go around the world where you have these different religions and one person becomes a follower of Jesus Christ. Do you think there's peace in that household? Absolutely not. There's the possibility of it. The devil does not want to give up what he already owns. And he will claw, and he will hook, and he will batter, and he will persist in every way that he can to keep that person right where they're at. You see, you don't need to do anything to follow Satan. But you do have to have faith and believe to follow Jesus Christ. You cannot just have a head knowledge of Christ. You've got to have a heart for Christ to know the true salvific understanding of who Jesus is. You have to build upon the rock. And if you don't, then your belief system doesn't matter. The more one studies the Word of God, the more it opens up to the reader who truly seeks the will of God. Why? Because Jesus spoke with authority. What Jesus said is what goes, regardless of how you feel about the matter. And that's what burns people up. Well, I don't think that's right. It don't matter what you think. The only thing that matters what you think is what you do with Jesus Christ. Well, I don't want to believe that. That goes against my sensibilities. Well, okay. I'm going to leave that up to God. You know the truth. My job is done. Now, we continue to pray for folks and stuff behind the scenes. But you know, when you confront somebody who's really anti-Christ, they're not really anti-religion because their secular humanism is a religion. When they believe that man has all the answers, how foolish that is. Do you think after all these eons that we would have got it right by now if we had all the answers? No. It doesn't work that way. The only answers we have is what we learn from God. Jesus is the author of the law of God. He clarified it, He explained it, and He added to it, as we said. When Jesus speaks, God speaks. Christ is not a regular man. Well, He's 100% man. Absolutely. But He is 100% God too. He is the God-man, 100% of... Well, He can't be half and half. No, He's not half and half. He's full man and full God. And we need to take what He hears. What does that mean? He hears from the Father. Because He is the God-man, the incarnate Word of God. And we hear from the Father. Every time we open, every time we read, every time we pray. But we must not only hear, in building this foundation upon the rock, we must not only hear, we must grasp, we must obey, we must do the things that God has taught us. Now, please don't mishear me. We are not saved by the works of the law. Read Galatians. All right? But our hearts earnestly desire to do the works that we are given for the glory and the love of God and for Jesus. We're to learn from Him. As Matthew 11, 28 and 29 and 30 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Now that can mean two things. That word in Greek, of me, that can mean learn from me or learn about me. Both is good. I should have said both are good, but you get my point. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You see that rest? That's the knowledge and the security of having our foundation of our entire existence based on the rock that is Jesus Christ. When you know you're not going to be blown apart by what the world throws at you. Now, folks, I'm not talking physical, because can the world kill you? Yes, it can. We have people die for Christ every day. But all they do when they do that is put us in the position of being with the one that we serve and love. So is that truly death? Not for us. Our physical death is going to come no matter what. Whether we die as a martyr, or we die in a nursing home, or we die in a car wreck, or we get hurt in a crime, whatever it is. When we die, if we are in Christ, we are in and with Christ forever. Now, folks, don't take that and run and jump in front of a truck on the interstate, okay? We don't want to rush God. We let Him do things in His time. But when we have that truth in our heart, we have peace. We have rest for our souls because we know that no matter what happens, we can never be separated from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Well, as we prepare to move past the sermon on the Mount to the other teachings of Christ, and I'm going to bounce around the Gospels to find the ones. We must remember to always be doers of the Word and not hearers only. In His words, we will not only learn what pleases God, but we will find that rest for our souls that we all long. Folks, the number one thing that I love more than anything else is simple peace. Not being worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. Not being worried about my health. Not being, you know, overburdened with family issues or church issues. No, just peace. And Christ gives us that peace in Him. Our souls long for that rest and peace. How many tombstones we see, especially older ones, that say rest in peace? Now we do not need to die for peace, unless you count dying to oneself. We can have it right now with Jesus. Yes, we will find that ultimate peace when we are with Him then, but He gives us rest and peace now if we learn and are obedient to Him. Why? Because Jesus Christ has the ultimate authority because He is God the Son. All the Father has given Him, He will in no way lose. This includes you and me. And as I close, I remember that old song. How many of y'all know who J. Vernon McGee is? The Bible trainer. You listen to him on the radio. Well, his radio show always comes on with this hymn. I'm not going to sing it, so don't worry. But listen to these words. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent Word. What more can He say than as you He hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my gracious omnipotent hand. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow, for I will be with thee, thy trouble to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all-sufficient shall be thy supply. Thy flame shall not harm thee, I only design, thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. The soul that on Jesus doth lean in repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul through all hell should endeavor to shake. I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. Because we are built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Thus let your house be built upon the rock. No wind, wave, rain, or storm, or I want to add, fire or disease or anything like that shall separate you from the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us share this good news with each other and with the world and to all that God sends in our path. And may He grant us the faith to get it done. Praise team. Brothers and sisters, as they prepare to sing, I just want to remind everyone that if you don't know Christ, why? You know of Him. You wouldn't be here if you didn't know of Him. But do you know Him? Do you have that firm foundation? Are you trusting and relying in Him alone for that salvation? If you are, God bless you. If not, why delay? And if you have been a Christian and you're sure, but something in your life has caused you to turn and go the opposite direction, turn around and come back to Him. He's still on the same place you left. He is still there. He is still your foundation. Return to Him and be blessed. Let's stand.